Exodus 6, 9 through 27, these are God's words. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses, because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to tell the children of Israel to go out of his land. Moses spoke before Yahweh, saying, The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' houses. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok, Palu, Hetzron, and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon were Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137. The sons of Gershon were Libni and Shimi according to their families. And the sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of Levi, according to their generations. Now, Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri. And the sons of Uziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. Aaron took to himself Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nashon, as wife. And she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah were Asir, Elkanah, Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as a wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, according to their families. These are the same Aaron and Moses, to whom Yahweh said, Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, according to their families. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. So far the word of God. Well, God had given what, John?
When your Bible says, These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their families. Mine says armies.
Sorry, it says armies. Did I say families?
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually the word is hosts, which they come out in a certain arrangement according to their tribes. Which is very similar to how militaries marched. And the word hosts usually means a military, but I'm not sure armies is a great translation there. It would have been better if they just used the vanilla word hosts. Back in verse 6, God had given a command, say to the children of Israel, etc. But when, at the beginning of our passage in verse 9, Moses tries it, they don't heed him because of... And it says anguish of spirit. The phrase literally means lack of breath. In cruel bondage. The idea was that they're so oppressed now and they're so exhausted that they have neither physical breath nor emotional spirit in themselves to give much of a response to what Moses says. But the Lord, after Moses has done that, the Lord says, now go talk to Pharaoh, and here's what you say to Pharaoh. And Moses' response is, having me say things doesn't seem to be working. The Israelites have not heeded me. How will Moses heed me?
Yeah.
Sorry, how will Pharaoh heed me? Since I am of uncircumcised lips. It's still similar to other complaints that he's made, that his speech seems to be ineffective, and he assumes that it's because of his lips. Yeah, well, it's God's words, it's God's command, but using my lips to do it doesn't seem to be working. Now, interestingly enough here, God doesn't even argue with Pharaoh, he just repeats the command. He says, "For I am of uncircumcised lips," and then verse 13, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel, for Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God doesn't owe us reasons. He doesn't owe us for us to understand why what he says is right and good. He often tells us many of the ways in which his commands are right and good. But the first and great reason to obey God is because he's God. The first and great reason to obey one of God's commands is because it's one of God's commands. And here, as far as we know in the presentation of the text by the Holy Spirit to us, he doesn't even reason with Moses. He just repeats the command. And then the Holy Spirit gives us a genealogy. And it's a genealogy full of, and I didn't count when I wrote the devotional, and I was going to count as I read, but my brain isn't doing reading and counting at the same time right now. But dozens of guys who are circumcised. The point of circumcision is not that it has some kind of magical power in it. So that, oh, well, what Moses really needed was circumcised lips. Or the magical power of circumcision assigned to his lips. Not that you would like cut his lips off. The point of circumcision is that we need who we are in ourselves and who we are that we got from our Father cut away from us. And we need God's life and God's power and God's righteousness and God's goodness in us. We need him to be our Father. We need a new nature from him. We need a new life from him. So the same thing baptism signs and seals onto us. As the water is poured out in baptism on earth, which we baptize with water, but the Lord baptizes us with his Spirit. And what does his Spirit do? His Spirit gives new life. His Spirit gives new birth. He gives real spiritual life to those who are physically dead. The other thing that the water signifies is the washing by the blood of Jesus. His cleansing us from what we are in ourselves. Now, baptism is also, the scripture teaches us, baptism into Jesus. That not only does it signify the pouring out of the Spirit and new birth and the washing that Jesus gives us in cleansing us with his blood, but it is also a seal of the fact that when you believe in Jesus, you are joined to him. You are his and he is yours, and everything that you need from him becomes yours. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. You're baptized into his death, and the person who you were is gone. And there's a new person who you are from Jesus Christ. You're baptized into his resurrection, and his resurrection power is the strength by which you are able to walk in newness of life. We read that in Romans 6. And so Moses had misunderstood what the idea of circumcision was about. It wasn't like he was on his way back to Egypt from Midian and Gershom needed to be circumcised so that there would be extra power for Moses as a result of this infusion. A baptism does not like channel extra power from God by virtue of the baptism. It points to how God himself gives himself to be the life and righteousness and goodness of those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so you have this interaction between Moses and God right before him, which he makes the complaint and he says, "My lips aren't good enough." And God just repeats the command. He tells us the genealogy we don't get the idea that Moses got the genealogy between verse 13 and verse 28. Perhaps when Moses came to write this later, he understood the relationship between the two things. Who knows? You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that those who prophesied by the Spirit of Christ didn't understand everything about what they were writing at the time that they were writing it. But the Lord includes the genealogy for us, that we will see that God has covenanted himself to a people, and that he has taken care of those people for generations, and that we're actually not that far away from the original patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. You know who else Levi is? Levi is Moses' grandfather and great-grandfather, because Moses' dad, Amram, married his father's sister. He married his aunt, who was one of Levi's children. So sometimes at least when I was growing up and reading the Bible, they didn't tell us that the 430 years was from when Abraham received the promise until the Exodus. So I grew up thinking, foolishly, as a mistake on my part, that the Israelites were in bondage for 430 years in Egypt, which isn't true at all. You look at the age of Levi and the age of Kohath, and you realize that Kohath is Moses' uncle and grandfather because of Amram marrying his aunt, and that's kind of weird to us. This is very, very short. It's probably about 200 to 250 years in Egypt, and 200 and 250 years before that in Egypt and the wilderness. So the wilderness is 40 years. It's probably about 50-50, we'll say 210, 170 years in Egypt, 80 of which Moses is alive before you even get to the Exodus. So they've only been in Egypt 90 years or so when Moses is born. So a couple of things here. One, God is reminding us that he's committed himself to a people. Number two, he's reminding us that it actually has not been that long. Number three, he's reminding us that the reason Moses' lips are going to be good enough is not because Moses or his lips are good enough. It's because the covenant God has determined to save this family and has decided to use this man is going to save this family using this man. That's very encouraging for you, because you have a sign of the covenant on yourself, and it shows how God is determined to save his church, of which you are a member, and your household, of which you are a member. Now, that doesn't get you out of believing in Jesus, does it? A whole lot of these people are going to fall in the wilderness. And Hebrews 3 and 4 says, even though they participated in something that corporately for the church as a whole is sure, that there were many who did not believe, and when they died, they did not enter God's rest. Do not let that happen to you. But for you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign and the seal of the covenant upon you is a reminder that the reason you will be saved is because God is the one who commits to save through faith in Jesus. And the reason you are useful and will be useful, and the ministries that God gives you, whether as a wife and mother or a husband, father, elder, whatever it is that he gives you to do in his church according to his word, the reason that will succeed is because God is the one who's decided to do it through you. And he is faithful to keep his promises. That's the main point of the genealogy. And that's the main point of circumcision. And that's the main point of baptism. God is faithful to keep his promises. Now, even if you didn't understand all that theology, obviously Moses didn't even get this genealogy and didn't understand all that theology at this point, but he did understand. God gave him a command. He gave a complaint. God just repeated the command. because we don't have to understand how if we are properly respecting who. And the who gives the command is God. Same thing with his promises. You don't necessarily have to understand how, so long as you respect who. And the who gives the promises is God. And Jesus Christ secured them for us, the Son of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for how amazingly patient you were with Moses. Be patient with us too, we pray. Give to us obedience. We do confess that we're very much like Moses. Often we come upon commands and principles from your word, and we resist obeying them so long as we feel like they won't work. Oh, forgive us for such unbelief towards you and rebellion towards you. And be patient with us and persistent with us as you were with Moses. Repeat your commands as often as we need them repeated, we pray. And grant by your Spirit that we would have soft hearts that would be submissive to obey. Help us to remember from the water that was poured out on us in baptism and the water that we have seen poured out on others, that you really do pour out your Spirit and cleanse people by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you are the one who gives us in Jesus everything we need. And so stir up our faith in him and make us sure that our faith in him will receive all of your salvation from him. We ask these things in his name, and your children here say, Amen.